We are recording.
Okay, thank you. Welcome, everybody. I'd like to officially call the Leon County Research and Development Authority Executive Committee meeting to order, dated November 26th. With that in mind, we're going to transition into the agenda as we await a quorum number 10 on our agenda, and that's staff reports. And Ron, if you'll take us through that.
Okay. There were just a few items I wanted to talk about. One is basically been playing catch up from the move and trying to get the building ready and the trail. The good news is the trail construction is complete. Minus a couple of benches that Tile Corps has to assemble, which it sounds easy, but you have to actually drag those things, all the stuff down to the trail and assemble it down there because they're pretty heavy. We have to do a final accounting with Public Works. It was a unit-based contract. We expect to potentially get a little money back, but it's been sort of like the process of getting the thing completed. It's taken forever to get the final accounting. Audit field work is complete. I spoke with the auditor yesterday. No issues have been identified at this point. They still have work to do, obviously, and anything can happen, but the field work is where the guts of it. Usually, if there's going to be a problem, that's where it will come up. I met with Kevin Graham to discuss leasing, building, land, sort of where we're headed, just to try to get him up to speed. He has an interest in just seeing where he might be able to help us out and point us in the right direction. So that was a pretty good meeting. I have been getting some leads out of LoopNet. Unfortunately, they're not really qualified leads. Nothing that would really fit well in the park. We do have one lead that we're working on. It's a security company, and they have some technology that they want to develop, but I don't know that that's their principal objective in the beginning stages. So we're going to meet with them. Michael and I are going to meet with them and see if there are any opportunities there. I did get to judge the FSU UF turkey tank down at the Jim Moran College. They had a pitch competition between the two schools. Antonio Montoya and I judged that. The winning pitch was an FSU student who had come up with a scrunchy drink cover that to prevent people from putting stuff in your drink. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you're going to take that out of your hair and put it in? Anyway, it comes out of the scrunchie, and then they put it in there. So it was an interesting idea. One of the priorities, we're going to be talking about the priorities, but my highest priority is going to be trying to get this 501c3 application done. We really got to get that in the hopper. So I'll be working on that. And I've also been working on the compensation committee implementation. We had the 457B plan representative come out and speak to staff. Still need to work on the Section 125. We've got the mobile phone reimbursement going. We're trying to get the county to help us out with their plans. They already had their open enrollment, but I'm trying to get them to waive sort of that open enrollment period because technically we're a new employer in the plan, so mm-hmm. there should be an exception for that, but wait for them to get back with me on that. That's most of what I have.
Questions for Ron? Ron, the only question I have is related to our 501c3 application. What timeline are we working on with that?
I'd like to have that done before the end of the year.
Okay.
Which, well, basically before I go on vacation.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Okay. If not, no other questions, then we'll transition to Director of Entrepreneur 2. Mike.
Thank you. Just quickly, I have a couple of bullet points I wanted to talk about. There's five grants in play right now. Everyone knows about EDA, which someone asked me, what do I think the chances are? I'm now down to 50-50. Don't ask me why. It'd take too long to explain it, but just don't know. I haven't heard a thing about it.
Was it 2 weeks ago? I think we touched base 2 or 3 weeks ago. And basically the response we got was, when I hear something, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Is there an anticipated timeline as to when? Is it dragged this on forever or?
I tried to figure that out and I tried to ask about that and I'm not getting a response. And it's interesting because last year when we applied, We were told we were too late by this time. Mm-hmm. So now we applied early, and now the too late time went by, and I checked yesterday, no one has received an award out of Michael.
I was going to ask you.
According to the website.
Okay.
Is there any way to find out how many applications they received?
If there is, I don't know what that would be other than a direct ask to Greg, which he won't.
You won't answer.
No. So it's not posted on publicly. So I cannot. I can only find out what's public right now. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that one's in play. A couple others I just want to talk about since it is money. FAMU Reach grant was renewed at $30,000. So that one's done, and it's in progress, and I've recorded some hours on that and getting some reimbursement. I don't know if we got it yet or not.
That's the one from 2 years ago. So it's a 15, yes. 15,000 a year. It was originally 45,000, but...
But they accelerated this year's to 30,000.
It's going to scrunch 2 years into one, basically.
Into one, because okay. They were a year late in implementing their own stuff. So.
Okay.
Also, FAMU and Innovation Park submitted a grant, something called SPARK, not to conflict with the other SPARK that we know about. This is with a C at the end. And it's $102,000 for us. It's to do SBIR stuff. Okay. I'm anticipating that one. It looked very strong. I'm going to call it 75%. We did, with Domi Station, win a grant for $50,000, 15 of which is allocated to us to do SBIR stuff. It's in negotiations now, and I put a question mark there because as much as I try to find out about it, I'm told that the MOU is being written. I haven't seen it yet, so... That's a question mark. And then I put in a grant for OEV for $25,000. We're going to hear by December 1st, I'm told, so right around the corner. And that one I'm calling 50-50 because I don't know what other ones are out there. So those are five grants in play right now. I'll be waiting for another one come early spring for FAST, and we'll apply for that. It's $125,000. So there's $172,000 in play right now, plus... the EDA grant, which was $10.2 million. A lot of things going on with SBIR's TTRs, which is great. I'm in my second class of SBA training on how to deliver more pertinent content, so it's advanced training, train the trainer, if you will. Mm-hmm. Just lots of stuff in SBIR's. I've written three, seminar sessions that I can deliver at some time. I'm working on a fourth. Actually, I'm working on two others. And then I may be starting one on NSF and NIH modules, how to specifically apply for them. Also with the North Florida Innovation Labs, prospecting is ongoing. There's speaking opportunities that Peggy's been helping with getting set up. Women Wednesdays has responded. We'll be doing something in April or May with them. The chamber, a couple of chambers have responded. Looks like I'll be doing something, but working out the details. Denise and I are working on the marketing plan, and also I'll be starting programmatic services once members are present. Programs with TEEP, which is the Technology Entrepreneurial Excellence Program. I'm developing a new course for the spring. It's going to be focused on technology entrepreneurship. It's going to include prototyping, production tolerances, all of those fun things. I'm working on a presentation now that goes through the course outline. I just received training, train-the-trainer training from Georgia Tech on I-Core, NSF I-Core, and I've completed that training, and FAMU and I are starting to work on mini I-Core program for early next year, and I've developed some materials for that. The tech grant, promoting the tech pitch event coming up, I've already talked to several people that are interested in applying, so hopefully we'll get a good turnout. The application is open January 13th on the website, and I've appointed a lot of people there. And then e-club things that we do, Denise and I are planning additional e-club events throughout the year.
So what's our attendance been, Mike, when we think about the SB?
SBIR attendance is typically at, if not over capacity, okay, which is great. Last time I had to turn away a couple of folks and put them on a waiting list. Okay. We did do one during tech, let's see, what do we call it, Tallahassee Entrepreneurial Startup Week or whatever mm-hmm. it is. Mm-hmm. And that one was a little lighter attended, and that was at 20 individuals, which wasn't so bad. So typically we do pretty well.
Do you schedule these sort of well in advance of the receipt deadline for the grants?
Yeah.
So which Lauren has an opportunity to apply what they learned in writing the grant and then apply it.
So that's the strategy moving forward for each individual agency. There's 11 agencies. Oh. Each one of them has different release dates and close dates. And so unfortunately you can't do a one that addresses all of them. But that's why I'm drilling down into some modules to discuss each one individually. Now, interestingly enough, I've been told it's a six-month time frame to do one of these. In a recent book from an expert on SBIRs, they say 6 to 12 months, and SBA is saying we're trying to reduce that to 3-week turnaround time. So...
Falls in line with your thought, Eric, because I was thinking the same, that maybe they get the training and then they're able to go ahead and take and benefit from it. So
yeah, it's really important to why take the training unless you're planning on applying soon thereafter.
So the answer is because it may take up to 12 months
that's
for it to be released. Now, the interesting thing is the top five SBIR/STTR funding agencies are the won't say easiest, but those are the ones I know best. Mm-hmm. And so DOD, NIH, NASA, and some of the others, so I can build modules on those, and that's what I have planned.
So, and the training is, to some extent, is also a marketing opportunity for us, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's some people will come and just to sort of feel out what's involved in this and do I want to do it?
Yeah, the whole purpose is prospecting, basically,
right,
because
right,
if you do land a grant, then we want you to land here so that you
exactly
can follow up with additional grants. And I did a little preliminary prospecting funneling, if you will. And just to throw it out there, we had 6 pre-opening leads.
Mm-hmm.
We had 4 more leads after our grand opening, so 10 for October. 9 toured the facility. One was an email from China, which interestingly enough, I got a response today. They're visiting December 19th through the 21st. So maybe that's more serious than I originally thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then in November so far, we've gotten 4 leads. And the interesting thing that's occurring from, or that I'm spinning out of this, is 7 are waiting, 8 are waiting for SBIRs. So they've submitted SBIRs,
okay,
which to me is pretty darn good. And if they get SBIRs, they want to come here, which is also really good.
Right.
That's what they've told me. One's waiting for a license, and then the others are all over the place. So I'm starting to work that category as well. But great question, because that's what I thought. I thought if I could get to the specific agencies, we could do the lead time, we'd talk about what the opportunity is, when the open date is, when the closed date is, and then how to actually write proposals
right
that are responsive to that agency.
Absolutely.
So that's what we're doing.
Bigger story to tell. Other questions, comments? If not, we'll transition to Denise and Dave. We are still awaiting the arrival, so just so you know.
Okay. So we've done a ton of events over the last couple months. We've done 2 tech topics. One was on October 11th. That was focused on robots with Dr. Christian Bickey. And we actually did get some media coverage with Tom Flanagan from WFSU for that. And then we did the tech topics that Michael talked about for the SBIR/STTR funding. That was really focused not for people who were writing proposals or interested in submitting, but more for people as public awareness to see what we were trying to do with it. But we did have about 20 people attended, and people were engaged with that. We did an eClub event on October 22nd. We did our open house. We hosted a mentor night. And we have our last event of the year is going to be on December 11th, and we are hosting a trail grand opening event. We're going to have Lucy and Leo's cupcakes, just giving out, invite people to come out, walk the trail and grab a cupcake and kind of meet other people and hang out. Other items, I did the editorial matrix. I've also developed the window decals for all of the incubator and the whole building. I did submit a year turn for you on October 25th. They haven't posted it yet, but I reached out yesterday, so hopefully I will hear.
Okay.
She had questions. I responded to her questions and didn't hear anything else.
Okay.
So I don't know what the status is. I asked her what the status is, if we need to rewrite it or anything. So hopefully I will hear from her soon.
This was Randy Atwood?
Yes, this is Randy Atwood.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Hey, April.
There was also the Willie Taggart thing that happened kind of right after it. So
just
pretty much everything went on the back burner when that happened. So I don't know if it's in the pipeline, but I'm going to figure out what that
is. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And then we also have another year turn from Michael regarding North Florida Innovation Labs, which I'm going to submit once yours is actually posted so that we have a good kind of presence and keeping the flow going. I've worked on some of the back end stuff on our website as well as our scheduling with SCEDA. I've worked with Michael to develop an action list for the marketing just to kind of start before I actually do the marketing plan.
Right.
Because I want to take time to figure out personas and stuff as well, because it's not just one persona that we have for the incubator. We're going to have multiple, and figuring out how to actually promote. Because I know Ron discussed advertising on Facebook and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that that's actually the right path, or should we be using LinkedIn or a different avenue to really reach out to our target audience?
Absolutely.
Besides that, one of the strategic objectives that we talked about last year was developing kind of an asset equipment list for the entire park. So I've met with Rebecca Sweat as well as Heather Cave with FSU, and also Kristen Roberts with the Mag Lab. And I'm trying, so the FSU Research Foundation thinks they have an asset list. So she's getting permission from Gary to give it to us so that we can post on our website to see if it's there. And then I've talked to Rebecca Sweat with HPMI just because she's been a close person mm-hmm. that we've talked to. And their list is actually present on their website. It's just not active. They don't have the links. They're hot links, but they have a lot of errors and stuff. So finding out what that is and getting it updated, we can do that. And then the Mag Lab is working. They have an inventory list, but they don't know if they actually have a comprehensive list of everything. So they were looking into that as well.
That's actually a great project, and it actually is captured in Ron's goals that we'll be talking about today, but just making sure that we have an asset map of what's here so that we could showcase it for those that, whether they access it via online or just having it in general face-to-face. April, thank you for your arrival. Where we are where we are now in the agenda, we'll jump back on it. We've completed the staff reports, so we're going to jump back up to the approval of participation by electronic means. And just so you know, that Dave, we have Dave online. Okay.
Great.
Okay.
I think you need a vote for that.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. So it is an action item, and it is not information that's in our packet, but it's more of the act itself.
Yeah, the bylaws require approval of the participants in the meeting to allow the participation by electronic means. So
okay.
This is simple.
So move.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been properly moved. Motion and second, the approval of participation by electronic means. All in favor, please acknowledge with aye.
Aye.
Opposition.
Aye.
Thank you. Opposition. Motion carries. So, introduction of guests, and we don't have any at this time. Any modifications to the agenda? Dave, I believe that you also want to chime in as well relative to our agenda.
Again,
I believe that you want to chime in relative to one of the items on our agenda.
Yes. If you're ready for that item, I'm
yes, sir.
To chime in.
Yes, sir.
Right. Good morning. It is my intention to avoid participation, a potential of a conflict of interest, and so I am therefore recusing myself from participating and voting on matters pertaining to Project WASP. Proper paperwork will be prepared, and I will sign them on returning to Tallahassee.
Thank you, Dave. So, again, for our minutes on Form 8B will be completed by Dave, and we are recording it in the minutes related to Item 7. With that said, we will transition to public comments, of which there is no public. Number 6, we look at approval of draft meeting minutes. So if you all would take a moment to look at those meeting minutes, and if you haven't already done so, and if you have, then I'd entertain a motion for approval.
So moved. Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, properly motioned second. The approval of the minutes dated March 26, 2019. All in favor, please acknowledge with the sign aye.
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 Okay, opposition? Motion carries. And now we will transition, while noting the conflict, into item Project WASP discussion. And Ron, if you'll move us through that.
Okay. I've given you a briefing individually on the project, but just a reminder that this is a confidential project, meaning that while this is a public meeting, we can't disclose the identity of the company, and we will provide minimal additional information based on that confidentiality agreement as permitted in statute. Project WASP, if you look at the project overview, it's a global company located in Tallahassee. They are looking for a proposal by the end of November, first week of December. I'm not sure if that timeline is going to hold. I understand from OEV that there may be an issue with the state incentives and how long it's going to take them to put their package together. Again, waiting for an update from OEV. Christina had intended to be here at this meeting. I have not heard why she's not here, but I'll get that additional information as quickly as I can. Hopefully we'll have an answer, or at least something that we can present at the next board meeting for approval of our board, but we'll see how that goes. But it is a tight timeline to try to get all of this done. So this is a manufacturing and R&D. It is a competitive project. They are certainly looking at other options, and it is possible that if we are not competitive, that they could locate the manufacturing operation in a different city and potentially retain their existing business here. So they have some new platforms that they're developing, and they are looking for a way to grow into those new platforms. You can see there's an error on this sheet. It says 2024 twice. It's actually a 10-year project, and by 2024, they're expecting to add 165 jobs. By 2029, another 428 jobs. And you can see it's a mix of high-skilled professionals and middle-skilled, which are manufacturing jobs, is my understanding, or support-type positions. The capital investment, you'll see when we look at the economic impact statement. At the time this summary was prepared, they didn't have that. There's another error on here, which is it says six acres. It's actually the full 12 acres of the outparcel, plus another 4.7 acres of leased land just south of that, and I'll show you a map here in a second. They're also asking to realign Paul Durock Road. Actually, it's a relocation of Paul Durock Road, which is the entry into Roberts. I'll show you that on the map. And that relocation is dependent on finding a place to do it that the property owner is willing to do. Currently, it's being proposed to put on an FSU property, FSU-controlled lease land. They are looking into that process and what they have to do to get that approved. They are also asking for access, a separate access from Roberts Road onto their property for truck traffic. They have some other infrastructure asks. The one that's most applicable to us is going to be stormwater. They've asked for an allocation of stormwater from our properties. Really, we can't do that. I think we kind of set the precedent for that, though, when we did another project with them, and we gave them the remaining allocation from the admin building. That's not expecting that we'd ever develop anything bigger on that lot because of all of the historic trees. So,
Dave, are you still there?
That's Christina Paredes on my phone, sorry.
Okay. I'm going to ask you if I'm still here. We're still here.
Okay, very good.
We're good. So we still have to work out the stormwater issue, but our expectation would be that they would have to manage any additional stormwater needs on site. There is a small allocation of stormwater. So again, that's fine. This is my phone. She's leaving a message now. So what are the challenges of using this? So we did have a discussion with the city utility folks, and they're saying there's room to handle the stormwater on site. But I think that will be a negotiating point as to who pays and how that gets handled. But at this point, I don't think it's anything that the authority can address for them. It's either going to have to be something from OED or otherwise. Sorry, she's not taking no for an answer.
Do you want me to call her on my phone?
No, that's okay. Well, I'll touch base with her later. So that's kind of the overview of the project. Let me show you the map here, so you can kind of see they are looking to do this in three phases over that 10-year period, and this is the current parking area. This is the road that they want to close, and the expectation is that entry road would be relocated up here. In the previous expansion project, we did agree to not object to relocating that road. The current price tag to do that is about $4 million. Mm-hmm. And I think the city and the county who would have to foot that bill may have a problem with that. So we got to see how that's going to shake out. But that, again, does not impact us. We've already agreed. We've already approved, to that relocation as a board. I guess I think we pretty much... We've done that process.
Exactly.
So this is the 12 acres. The city drew a little stormwater pond right here. I think that's their expectation. I think the big question is how much parking is going to be required. Based on the schedule that I've seen, it looks like this is going to be about 150,000 square feet. That's how much additional manufacturing they're adding. They did the square meters, and they did it over a 10-year period. It's hard to tell what's the beginning and what already exists, or are they counting that or not,
right.
But I believe it's 150,000 square feet. Not really that important to us, as we're really mostly concerned about the jobs and obviously the land. And again, this is the 4.7 acres that's included in the park that's leased land.
Which parcel would the proposed incubator?
Yeah, so this is the parcel that we were looking at for the incubator, these two right here.
Okay.
And basically that would leave, in terms of what we would control in vacant land, is just this. Just these four parcels right here, 1, 7, and then these two here.
Which leads us to a conversation Ron and I have had about then the conversation that we need to have with BAMU and FSU about other potential properties, but that would be it that we have available.
Yes, and since we're in a public meeting, I can tell you this, that's one of the conversations I've had with Kevin Graham, which is, we did the restructuring and we gave control over a lot of the lease land back to FSU and FAMU. The question is, could we set something up that if we had a private sector company that was interested in locating the park, find some prearranged agreement on how we might execute that?
How much acreage do we still have left undeveloped, the total undeveloped?
So this is, we've got about 10 acres here, and this is 4.5, so 14.5 acres.
So not much.
That's all we have left.
Yeah, so that's...
Okay.
Solar Sausage land? Or?
Yes, this was Solar Sausage, the Sunnyland Solar Sausage. Well, actually, both of these were, but most of it was back here in the corner.
Okay.
So that certainly becomes a conversation for us as we go into the new year.
So, and that would certainly impact some of the other work we had talked about in the goals, which is, how much land use planning do we do if all we've got left is that 14 acres?
Right.
But again, speaking with Kevin, that might be the point where we bring in FSU and FAMU and say, let's look at the plan for all of what's left and what you might be willing to do with it.
What was his feedback? Positive?
I mean, that was basically his idea. Yeah.
It's Kevin. He's with FSU.
Graham. Kevin
he sits
Graham.
On our board.
He's on our board now.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Let me find the
And so then I guess transitioning to what you're proposing as a staff recommendation.
Trying to find my sheet here.
Okay.
Too many things going on. So I went out and did an appraisal on the two parcels. So the one we own, Fee Simple, appraised at $540,000. The parcel that's leased is $265,000. And the reason the cost per acre is higher on the lease than on the one we own, really a couple of reasons. One, the leased parcel has stormwater allocation. The out parcel does not. The out parcel being 12 acres, they actually, I don't think the term they use was economies of scale, says that it's worth less. A larger parcel is worth less than a smaller parcel, that if we were to subdivide that 12 acres, it'd actually be worth more than it is as a whole, which I would have thought the other way around. Yeah. But I guess
even for commercial property, then.
Yeah, apparently. And it kind of makes sense. You know, if you go out and you... If you subdivide farmland, then you know you can put a lot of houses on that farmland and sell it more than if you are selling it as farmland. But, I think those were the two primary things that sort of drove that per acre cost down. There was one comp that they didn't include in the 12 acres that I tried to negotiate with the appraiser on, and I lost. But it was worth substantially more. It would have probably brought that up about $10,000 an acre, but but I couldn't convince him. And I understand his point. I mean, it was exactly that. It just wasn't comparable.
Okay.
So so I did challenge the appraiser. So a couple of other things that we have to consider. One is moving the out parcel, the 12 acres that's currently zoned as M1, moving it into the PUD, which basically is an amendment to a major amendment to the PUD. It takes 60 to 90 days, which we were looking to amend the PUD anyway. And that would provide for a consistent single site review process. So rather than having them go through the city review on the zoned property, it would all the site plan review would come to us if it's all under the PUD. And then there's some benefits to them, such as a reduced amount of green space required under the PUD compared to the M1 zoning. So it's just a more of a technical thing, and that's the city let me know about that. Again, we mentioned the support for the what would actually be a variance to the CNR for the separate Roberts Avenue truck entry, not objecting to the relocation of the Roberts Avenue entry road, and then I would propose that we have the buyer pay all closing costs except for the documentary tax stamp cost, which is, if you're not familiar, whenever you do a transfer, you've got to pay 0.7% on the value of what was transferred. And that would be about $5,600. So we would pay that. It's consistent with what we did in the previous transaction, except in that case, it was a $3.8 million deal with $25,000 in tax stamp. But I thought it'd be good to at least get that clear in the proposal. So a couple of incentives for you to consider would be the CAM fee abatement. I would suggest that the CAM fees be abated for 10 years from execution of the sale or lease. So one would be a sale, which is the 12 acres, and the sublease would be the 4.7 acres. And that cost in year one is about $11,704. It goes up typically about 3% a year. It's capped at 3% a year. But note that we don't charge the CAM fee on undeveloped property. So it wouldn't be technically for an entire 10 years we'd be giving up. We don't have it now anyway. But I think it would look good as an incentive to say we're not going to charge you for this over this 10-year period while you're developing the property. Another option would be, and I don't know how important this would be to them, but a no-interest land payment terms. So on both parcels, spread that over 5 to 8 years. I don't think I'd go more than 8. I think we're going to need the cash flow.
All right.
And then
And then last but not least is the discounted land price. I don't think I offer that, but I just want to throw that out there as an option.
Okay. So for those, and just so for your note, April, Dave is recused himself from this item. So conversation regarding what's being proposed.
So based on the location, maybe not the 4.7, but the 12 acres, it would be rather difficult to do much else other than this project WASP with that land. Is that correct? In other words, its location on the periphery, access points, things like that, this makes a lot more sense than anything else.
I mean, it certainly works. I mean, the let me pull that map back up. But in the original master plan, they had suggested adding, where we have a cul-de-sac here, mm-hmm. is pulling a road around this way. But again, more road, less land available to right. develop. But yes, so in this scenario, yes, it would be certainly an easier way to develop that whole 12 acres all at once.
And the sublease cost, is this passed through? There's no revenue to LCRDA?
No, it's all revenue to LCRDA.
Okay.
We don't pay anything to the state.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think I was, I am in the same place. I'm not sure what else would happen with it, so I'm not opposed to that. I am in support of purchasing it outright and not discounting it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the price is for 12 acres, my God, that's pretty cheap. I don't see any reason for a concession on price.
Yeah, I it's kind of weird because you would think being in a research park there would be added value.
You would think.
Yeah.
But they don't look at it that way. Typically for commercial property, it's if you got access to an interstate or an interchange or a major road is more important than where we're located sort of out in the middle of technically nowhere.
This would be for manufacturing primarily?
Yeah.
Yes. April, what are your thoughts on them? And then I guess we could transition into the other possible incentives.
Well, it seems to me that we are, in terms of incentives, we're sort of a bit player. You know, like there's only so much flexibility that we have, and that the state and the local incentives are going to play more heavily. So I wondered if you had any knowledge of whether they're going to be able to put together a package that will still make us competitive.
They are putting a package together. I don't know what's all there. It's the typical incentives that they've offered in the past. Mm-hmm. But I have not seen.
So is there a fund that, a local fund that would help?
Yes.
I mean, I guess my concern is I want those jobs.
Yeah.
You know, this is what Tallahassee desperately needs. And we don't often see 500 high-end jobs available. Yeah, I know it's a mix, but that's a lot of good jobs that we need in this market. And so, you know, I think we need to sharpen our pencil, but I'd really like to know what else is out there for them so that, you know, if we come back and say, well, there's not a whole lot we can do for you, and then the locals say, oh, not a whole lot we can do for you, and then the state doesn't do much, I hate to see those jobs go to New York or Mexico. I want them here.
Ron, did Christina give any indication of when she would be able to present or at least share what?
No, that's what I was hoping to get from her, but it was, they are looking at the standard stuff. The TVP is
yes.
the local fund. And they're trying to get them the max they can there, which is, these are the same incentives that we offered the last time.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means
yeah.
in terms of dollars, do you?
Not.
Is it a million? Is it 2 million?
I have not
it?
Seen it. They have not shared any of that with me at this point.
Okay.
And I think they're still, that's one of the, I may have mentioned earlier, there has been a delay with the state
right.
in them putting their pieces together, and I've been told it could be as much as 8 weeks.
Mm.
So that's what I was hoping. I called Christina yesterday to try to get that update. She didn't respond. So,
mm-hmm.
So I guess relative, though, to what the park can do, we know that there is an interest, at least from this body, on yes for the sale, yes on the price of pay, for paying for it. The incentives, as they're listed, as Ron, and Ron has done that, and he's spoken with each of you about what else we could put forward. The other ask that I intended to, once you know we move forward with whatever action, should we move forward with the affirmative, is talking to Christina to make sure that OAV certainly does represent the contributions of this park as an equal partner in hopefully securing and landing this, because I think it would just add to the narrative that we're trying to create and that we are actively engaged and a member at the table. I personally, relative to the incentives as they're presented, I don't have any concerns about them. The payment term, 5 to 8 years, I wouldn't suggest going beyond that either. I think that's reasonable as presented. And this would be an action item.
Yeah, so what I think we're looking for at this point is direction from the executive committee in terms of sort of the opening offer. And I think this, what I've proposed here is sort of the opening offer. At least we can take that, put it together with the other incentives, and present that sort of draft offer to WASP.
And with the understanding that you could certainly come back. I mean, I don't know what else we have in our kitchen sink out there, but certainly.
And then by the board meeting, hopefully we will have some feedback, and right. We will know the rest of the package that's being offered. Or at least have that nailed down a little closer.
What do you think the value of these combined incentives?
I really don't know. I apologize. I just have not been able to get that information.
So now these other locations, are they expansions of existing facilities as well? Or is it kind of out in the middle of a new location?
I think they have existing facilities in those locations.
And well, there's especially with Mexico, there's going to be increased import-export sort of issues, perhaps, as time goes. I'm sure they're certainly aware of. Is this something that this location is a preferred one, so that if on a dollar-for-dollar basis, we weren't the lowest?
They're not telling us their negotiating strategy, to put it that way.
I guess I certainly wouldn't expect them to, but do we have a feel for preference on their part?
I'd be speculating. I would think that their CEO would prefer to have it here.
Yeah.
But he's got to sell it, upstream.
Ron, the release of additional information, is it contingent upon the NDA being executed that she'll provide more, or is it just
think they have it yet, particularly the state numbers they don't have yet. And I think that's going to be the lion's share of it.
Okay.
It just seems we should try to put a dollar value so that, as you say, we want to be considered a good player at the table. Mm-hmm. We need to be able to say our estimate is that this is a value of X or between X and Y, so that, our contributions are seen both to other partners and to this potential project.
Okay, so in essence, then, just quantifying it, this what we have thus far.
So in terms of what the others are offering, what's our
yes.
contribution relative to
Correct.
What everyone else is offering? And the last time we did this, it did work out relatively equally in terms of incentives. I think ours was about $480,000 worth of basically free land.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they got the last time. So, the question is whether or not we can afford to continue to do the same thing.
Sure.
And again, that was on 125 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, when most of the calculation is based on jobs, I think capital investment goes into the calculation as well.
So then, just I guess as a point of moving it forward.
So you're talking about the sales price that you'd indicated plus the lease price that you'd indicated minus some number of years, something less than or equal to 10 for CAM.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm paying the transfer tax.
Yes. So you're talking $120,000 to $150,000.
And then if they choose the 5 to 8 years of the, what is it, no interest land on payment terms, then that.
So whatever the interest, the
and that's a calculation
on, you can do.
And I'd show it. I mean, I'd show it at the 8 years. And
absolutely.
Well, that's not going to be a huge amount of money. And just a question of whether you want to have that money up front or you know, bleed it out over a period of time.
I'd rather have it up front.
Well, of course.
basically, if our average earnings right now on interest is about 2%.
Right.
You know, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah,
what's 2% on $800,000?
Okay.
So what is that, $16,000 a year?
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah.
And then if we times it by the 8 years. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the pleasure?
Yeah. Well, let me ask.
Sure.
Would you, collecting it over a period of time, 5 to 8 years, whatever it is, do you care?
I mean, obviously, it's better to get it up front, but if we want to offer any incentives, that's one of the safest incentives that we can offer, one of the easiest ones to do. I don't want to go out and help them finance their building. That's one of the things that they had asked for, was they wanted an option of a lease-to-own option. Hmm. And, you know, I don't think that's a risk that we want to take. Especially, you know, the size of this investment is going to be pretty large.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's no tax advantage to, you know, for us to finance it, because it wouldn't be tax exempt debt.
What would be your preference in terms of the incentives? All three we've been talking about?
Yeah, everything but discounting the purchase price. I think you got to go into this strong.
You got an appraised value, so what's the problem?
Yeah, it's either we're going to charge them for it or we're not. I don't think any minor discount, you know, 10, 15, 20%.
Right, it's really going to matter in the scheme of things.
Right,
yeah.
The state and the local incentives are really what's going to be what will carry the day and what should carry the day, because
Absolutely. This
is a project of regional significance. You know, it's an important project. We need to win it.
But I will say, I you know, my sense is, and I can't speak for Christina, but you know, that this company has been given a lot, and that, you know, in the current environment, when it comes to, you know, incentives to corporations, you got to justify it. And this is a 10-year project. It's not like it's all next year.
Okay.
So I think that's a concern. I don't know how far they're willing to take that in negotiations. But I think that is a concern. So they basically are looking at it the way we are as well. Since this is not the time to just, you know, open the checkbook. And
one thing I would say as we think about the sale is that the worst thing we could do would be to let's assume that we proceed with the sale, is to use that money to fund operations or to do anything else. I think we have to look at it in terms of, if we were able to get an influx of money, how could we use that money to really further the long-term goals of the park, which to me is redevelopment of existing infrastructure and buildings. So as we think about it, I just wouldn't want to see it become just another funding source for our operations. I feel like we're really in a place where we need to be looking forward to where are we going to be in 20 years in this park. So
just being very strategic about it, and I would certainly support that as well. We won't benefit from Dave's wisdom, so he can, but we will definitely go ahead and what's the pleasure?
Well, I was just going to say, with April's concept, which makes complete sense, Does it then skew whether you want the money up front or you want to bleed out over a period of time? Because if you have some capital projects and you have $800,000 in your pocket, it's a whole lot easier to approach it, I think, than if you're having $100,000 a year over 8 years.
Well, right now we have $3.7 million, I think, in investments. So we have a pool now. Obviously, if we get the EDA grant, that drops down 1.8, but that's right. over a couple of years. So we still have a chunk of funds there. So whether it's the 800,000, feeding operations, or it's the what we have in the investments feeding operations, it's money's money. It's in terms of timing of cash flow, uh-huh. The 8 years is probably okay. 5 years would be better because of just the way I know cash flow.
Just want to limit it to 5 years.
We could do that.
I think that's a safer. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So then we're making the revision 5-year term. Okay. So the incentives and possible incentives and with the inclusion of selling the land at the appraised value would be canopy abatement as presented, the no interest land payment 5-year term, the documentary tax stamp, so items 1 through 3.
And I can get the whatever additional information Christina can provide me at this time and get it to you, but again, what I want to do is I see this as the opening.
You need to be in a position to put something together.
Put this on the table.
Yeah.
We'll get feedback, and then we'll have the rest of the data, and then we can come back at the board meeting and adjust if we have to.
Good. Okay.
Do we need a motion?
Yes, ma'am.
So I move the incentive package items 1, 2, and 3 as discussed with a 5-year no interest loan payment term. As a recommendation to the board.
Second.
Okay, it's been properly motioned and seconded. The approval of incentives 1 through 3 with the inclusion of the 5-year term. All those in favor, please acknowledge aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposition? Motion carries. Okay, good. Very, very good wholesome discussion on that. And then the next item that we have, and then that would probably bring us to a close, the executive director goals, and that's attachment B. What I would offer to you all as you have conducted your review is that what this represents is actually items that were extracted from our strategic plan mm-hmm. when the organization went through its planning process, as well as it collapses some of the projects and goals that were attached to Denise as well as Mike. And we wanted to bring that under one document. Ron and I have had an opportunity to discuss it. I would say at this juncture, some of the things that we talked about is that we wanted to make some things more, quantifiable, want to put some numbers to things and the when. But beyond that, we would open it up to your feedback. Oh, I'll chime in quickly with goal number 4. This one's related to the airport. What we envision with this is actually inviting David to come and speak to our body at our next board meeting so that we could hear, now that he's in that permanent spot, the alignment and also establish some goals around that. It is listed for number 4, but we all need to hear what that game plan is. So thoughts, and this would just be, again, something that we want to be able to give Ron direction on.
Looks fairly comprehensive and perhaps a little bit aggressive, knowing how things actually work.
As Ron is holding his breath over there, it's like, okay, great, Ron. And yes, so with our strategic plan. And
I'm glad you recognize these are stretch goals.
it's off topic and sort of covered it earlier.
Sure.
You'd mentioned getting the 501c3 submitted perhaps by the end of the year.
Yeah.
What's the turnaround time on here and anything on that?
It can be a while.
6 months.
Yeah.
I mean, you can apply and you can continue to operate, but.
Yeah, we had 18 months from when we incorporated to get it filed.
You're doing the whole, I mean, I know when we set up the Nonprofit Institute, it wasn't 6 months, it was quick, but.
I think that there are different forms. And if you expect annual earnings or annual revenue over $50,000, you have to do the long form.
Absolutely.
And the long form is really long.
Yeah.
And there's also a process that if they get it, they may reject it and send it back with comments.
Mm-hmm.
for you to respond to. I've seen that, and
that's true.
So there can be somewhat iterative, but.
So, assuming that goes through, is there a list of potential donors that could be reached out to early on, just to kind of test how this might work?
We have not, unless you know of anything, Michael.
Does Project Lost People have a foundation where they help fund something?
They have offered to donate equipment to us. Okay. Right now, we just don't have any place to put it.
Okay.
I'm not sure we could get it in the door. So,
but that would be under a 501c3 donation.
Yeah, actually, they don't even care about that at this point, not with the equipment.
Okay.
At least they've not stipulated that. But the primary purpose for the 501c3 were for those that would only donate to a 501c3. So, anyway.
Okay.
The low-hanging fruit, just so you all know, is CRA money, Community Reinvestment Act money from banks, and also CPAs and lawyers like to commit small funds to 501c3s for incubation. That's what I've seen in the past. The other things that I've applied for that require it are foundations, and the foundations have a gatekeeper that says, are you a 501c3, and you can't go beyond that.
Right.
Until you say yes and give the appropriate numbers. So I haven't been able to apply to any foundations.
It would seem to be very handy once the incubator was a reality.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of in terms of how we've been prioritizing things, trying to get done. Getting the building done was the highest priority because without it, there was nothing to do with any money or just anything to show anyone.
So relative to goals, there's not much you can do other than wait.
Yeah, well, you put it in, you wait for the response, you answer any questions, and you go from there. Now, my understanding is that you can go through someone who can receive the funds for you.
A fiscal agent.
Thank you, mm-hmm. Fiscal agent. So we could go out and solicit funds, and the fiscal agent could get the money and pass it through to us. But I'm not sure what happens if we're denied a 501c3, what happens to those funds?
That's a good question. I don't know through a fiscal agent.
Yeah, see, that's my concern.
Dave? Oh, yeah.
Madam Chair, at some point I got my hand raised. I know you can't.
I should have felt it, Dave. Go ahead, chime in.
Well, first of all, regarding these goals, I think they're very well done. There are some things that I would suggest because of having worked on these for years and years and years myself, but some of the things I sort of consider are kind of plans to plan.
Correct.
I don't like the word work with staff. I really would like to see that more definitive, like instead of work with staff on fundraising, I'd like to see it say something like achieve funding for legislative request grants or more objective than sort of planning to plan.
Absolutely.
Just some observations, and I would suggest we look at that a little bit closer.
Okay.
Dave, if I could comment on that, I was trying to differentiate things that I was doing specifically versus things that staff was working on. So, yes, I appreciate if you want to be more definitive on goals, but that's not what I was trying to communicate. It was just I didn't want to imply that I was doing that specifically.
But I'm responsible for staff, so yes.
But you're responsible for staff and seeing the staff get things done. So
yes.
Those are just my observations. I think it's a good document, a good place to start with, but I'd critique it a little bit.
Absolutely. April, Eric, any other thoughts on that? Because what you will see, we will make the revisions, and then the other part of it is that every other meeting you will present it. I told Ron at a minimum that we want to place it as a static item on the agenda so that we can walk through. We've bucketed it for five specific goals, so it should not take up an inordinate amount of time, but at a minimum we will take into account all the feedback that we're getting today.
Understand Dave's point, and it's fine. It's Ron will work with it to try and make it a little bit more.
Yeah, I can say it's not clear or whatever.
I just think if good progress on even one or two of these would be substantially important. So I really don't have any significant adjustments that I would make. I mean, if you can do it, half of this stuff, we'll give you a thanks.
That's what I was going for.
That's exactly what he was going for.
Attaboy.
You know, it's the challenge is not, do we have time to do all these things? If that's all we did, I think we'd be fine. It's the stuff you don't know about. You know,
sure.
We don't know about Project WASP. We don't know what the next project is. There are opportunities that come up for certain grants and, you know, hemp projects. And
too.
Yeah. And then there's that. But, yeah, so, you know, I think one of my main objectives with this is to get the board to recognize these are the areas and agree that these are the areas we're going to work on and not get too far afield of this so that we can try to get these things done. And if the board doesn't think these things are important, then we shouldn't have them as goals.
So, again, just so you all may recall that this came up through the compensation committee that we, in addition to what we had normally been measuring, the static items, we wanted to bring in more alignment with where we're going. So that's this attempt. We'll make those revisions, realizing that, yeah, there needs to be some flexibility as projects come on board that, you know, require us to redirect and pivot. But
I guess the in terms of the evaluation form, obviously this is a lot of detail. How do we want to add that to the evaluation form? Are we going to check a box on each one of these things?
Why don't I'll take that up since
okay.
I've done that for other organizations. I'll take that up and then we'll present it as a draft at our next meeting. But
okay.
I'd like to collapse it so that it's easy enough that people get it.
Can I ask you about goal number 5?
Okay.
What are your thoughts about that? What does that look like?
You know, we have not looked at that, but I think one of the things is again, leasing, taking advantage of the assets that we have and leasing those out. I know it's not sexy, but we have assets that we can lease. So,
right.
You know, working with Kevin to see what opportunities there are to get that going, particularly with the Morgan building. I don't know how much we talk about this. The had conversations with the Department of State, with SHPO, the State Historic Preservation Office. The governor did include in his budget over $5 million to build a facility for their artifact collection. And I had conversations with the State Historic Preservation Officer, Tim Parsons, about their interest in locating that facility at the park. This is, Ann had made some inquiries and noticed this, but I actually spoke to the SHPO and he's like, yes. Their original plan was to look at Mission San Luis, and those folks don't really want it there because they don't want to disturb the ground out there. At least that's what he's conveyed to me. So if you look at the Morgan building, for example, you know, it's right next to the Johnson building with SEAC. And with the FSU Department of Anthropology, the SHPO is actually an FSU grad who used to work at SEAC. He thinks it's a great fit. He said that probably the only downside is that it's not as publicly accessible as some other sites, and they want to have students and others who can get there. But that's one opportunity, for example. But those are the main things right now that we know about. And it might be we go after more federal grants, so go after EDA grants for planning purposes, because they do have some opportunities there that might be actually be easier to get, I think, than some of the hurricane relief grants.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is there enough space there that whatever they have would fit?
Yeah, I think it is. I think they're looking at 30,000 square feet, so which is basically what the Morgan building is. So one of the things I asked, I said, do you want to buy a building? Do you want to demo the space and start over? You know, right now we have two tenants in there. We have NWRDC and CBTR, and I think combined it's probably 8,000 square feet. So I mean, obviously there's a lot that has to be done. The money they've got right now is to start the planning process. Originally, they said it's going to be $10 million. So they're going to start planning with the dollars that they have. And and potentially acquiring land. So it's, you know, it's a start. We don't know where that's going to go. And
so how's that process work? There has to be some way to notify them that this is an option. Is there a formal proposal you make for that?
Yeah, well, the first step is getting approved in the budget, because this is the governor's budget proposal. So the budget proposal is not specific as to location. So they got the funding to do the planning, or they're proposing to get funding to get the planning. So once they get the funding, then we can start that process of doing that. But right now, I mean, the State Historic Preservation Officer is the one in charge of this particular area. So that's my understanding. So we've had a couple of conversations, so he's very well aware of our interest in doing this.
And I would say, to me, the long-term vision of the park is not about state agencies locating here. That's, you know, I know that it's good because we're able to fill up the buildings, mm-hmm. but is that what we want to fill up the buildings with? You know, to me, we should be moving in the opposite direction. But I know we're in a very challenging environment. We have a lot of, you know, we have a lot of wishes that we don't always come true related to the business mix in Tallahassee. But, you know, that's my bias.
Yeah, and
it's private sector investment. Yeah, how do we get private sector going in Innovation Park?
And I'm not suggesting that that's any of these are done deals. I'm just saying those are opportunities that are presenting themselves for consideration. So,
And I think it just becomes an opportunity, especially when I think about the incubator. I mean, the thought is that those will be private and it will grow and nurture those that then they will want to take advantage of other space here in the park. So maybe it's, you know, a combination of the two. Relative to the goals and our particular next actions, what I've heard from the body is that, Dave, we need to remove the plan-to-plan language, so basically definitive language. I've asked where it can be quantified to make sure that we have a quantifiable item there. I believe that, April, I gleaned from your conversation about examples that what does that mean? We need to know what the destination is.
Detail.
Okay, so we will look to do that, and then what I'm agreeing to do is to look at how this then can be collapsed into our evaluation tool that we currently have, and we would then present that back at our next meeting.
And Ron, I think this is a great, I mean, these are goals, right? Mm-hmm. And if we make significant progress in one or two of these areas, we'd be doing great. So thank you for the thoughtful presentation.
Yeah, absolutely. And connecting it with the strategic plan, we certainly need to do that. With that in mind, we have, for the chair's report, the only activities that I, or comments that I wanted to offer is our activities matrix. I mentioned that previously at the initial meeting of my term team. They are working feverishly on this. Basically, we're laying it out by month. What activity? What are we doing? Who's doing it? So that we can build some level of, I call it, consistent messaging that's out there and communicating what we're doing, but also being able to point out to each of you, our board members, about what our goal is, what our objective is, what was the ROI, are we moving in the right direction? So this is being refined, but it is.
And we'll share that in the in the board meeting packet.
Right. And then the trail opening that we have coming up, but then there will be more information that Denise will share as well. So staff reports have been completed. Is there any new business to be brought forward?
Let me just back up on
steps
again.
No problem.
That, it seems like. Relative to this historical preservation issue, does the anthropology department know about this potential? And it seemed like they'd be excited about it, and it would be here. They might want to continue to stay in this area due to synergy and so forth. And so, relative to what April's saying, do you even want them here to stay?
Yeah, and that's a great question. It's there is a research component to what they're doing. We may end up with a cluster we never anticipated. You know, to be a historic preservation cluster. There's research that's done there. What's commercializable? I don't know. The extent that something's going to come out of that, I don't know. But, you know, if we have an asset that we can't otherwise utilize, and we've made efforts to do that, it's an opportunity. I'm not suggesting one way or the other at this point. Whether or not that helps anthropology, I mean, you could argue that, you know, why is anthropology here? Why is SEAC here?
Right, because we don't have many other options.
Exactly.
Why,
exactly.
Why is FSU IT Services here? Why is NWRDC here?
Right.
I mean, they all sort of touch on things and support things, but, you know, in terms of, you know, private sector, no, it's not. That's not what it is. Why do we have so many research buildings here, and not more private sector? It's the way the thing has evolved. So I agree. If we can attract other companies, great. Mm-hmm. And if we want to, you know, tear down Morgan and start over,
good luck.
Yeah.
So blow it up, as the mayor suggested, I think. That's fine. But again, it's sometimes it's about the opportunities that come along. And
absolutely.
But to answer your question, we're kind of like at the very beginning of the race, which is the governor submitted his budget proposal.
No, that makes sense. So just pretending a little bit further, let's say they would take Morgan and anthropology to want to stay. What amount of additional space is there for lease that might be attractive to companies that might jump out of the incubator? Should it be built, for example?
10,000 square feet this way.
Okay.
Is basically what we've got.
Okay.
Whatever we do with Knight Building, which I don't anticipate will be for companies, but and then the what do we say, 12, 14 acres of ground. So, and again, this kind of goes back to Kevin Graham's point, which is, and I think goes to yours as well, which is, what are we going to do with the rest of the park, and how does it fit the mission? And that's, I think we need to sit down and take a holistic approach.
Yeah,
we got a little time on the whole artifact facility, but
having that conversation, so that at least gives you direction as well.
And at least, you know, looking at, okay, 2 years from now, where are we going to be? 4 years, you know, how do we slowly move in the direction we're trying to move?
You need the development plan that says this is what we're going to get done,
right,
how we're going to fund it.
Yeah.
And I think that's Kevin's point as well. And Kevin has been a great addition to the board, and he brings a level of expertise I think will help tremendously in getting that done.
Anything else, Eric?
No.
Okay.
I'm quiet.
No. Okay. Well, then there's no new business. Then, with that said, we'll move to adjourn, and I certainly hope that everyone has a wonderful Thanksgiving.